Unless you've been living under a rock, you will probably know that HRT has been having a bit of a moment recently, whether it was Davina's documentary about it a little while ago or stories that pop up every now and again about HRT shortages and women left without. There is no doubt that in the last couple of years, the menopause and HRT has definitely come up on our radar. In fact, there are some that think that every woman should be on HRT to protect us against a host of issues and diseases as we age. And most certainly, we have been given the message that HRT could well be the saviour for us, whether it's the symptoms that we're currently experiencing or future-proofing our minds and bodies. So I wanted to get into this today and talk a bit about HRT. Is it, in fact, the answer to all of our ills? Or are there some other things that we should be considering along the way as well? Welcome to the Busy Woman's Guide to Fitness and Wellness, a space where we celebrate you exactly as you are right now, while also looking at realistic and achievable ways that you can increase your fitness, improve your nutrition, and bring more wellness into your busy schedule. We tackle a whole range of subjects from diet culture and healthy weight loss, right through to how to stay motivated, reduce stress, balance fitness and life, and ways to get the most out of your fitness routine. This is your weekly dose of inspiration and motivation, perfect if you're a busy woman who sometimes struggles to find time for yourself and who would love to develop a positive mindset and a consistent fitness and wellness routine. I'm Alex, your host, women's fitness and wellness coach, founder of ChickFit, mum of two, lover of chocolate, wine and exercise, and believer that we can all find balance in our busy lives. Well, hello there and a huge welcome back to the Busy Woman's Guide to Fitness and Wellness. Amazing to have you here as always, and really excited to get into this subject today, which is all about HRT. Is this really the answer to all of our ills in the peri to postmenopause phase? Just a little pre-warning, this may be a little bit longer than usual, this episode, because there is a lot to say here, but I hope you're going to find it super, super valuable. Now, before we start, a few caveats, which I think are necessary before we go into this, because HRT is a bit controversial, actually. There are some differing opinions on this, but what I'm hoping to do today is to really help you to look at the pros and cons, but also to look beyond HRT as well, to the wider conversation around menopause, our experience of this phase as women in society right now as well. I think the second thing to say is I don't pretend to have all the answers, and I don't pretend that my viewpoint is the right viewpoint, because I don't actually believe there is a right viewpoint here. I think there is only the thing that works for each and every one of us as an individual. But I hope that what I can do is I can bring together the knowledge that I've been building, the conversations I've had with women going through this phase, and something of my own experience as well, to really help you to see that bigger picture, so that that can be a part of you making your own informed decision about HRT, whether it's something you're considering now, whether it's something you're already taking, whether it's something you might be considering in the future as well. The other thing to say is that, of course, I am not a medical professional or a HRT specialist. And you know what? There are some that might say you shouldn't be talking about it at all because of that. But I'm not here to tell you whether HRT is or isn't right for you. That bit is totally up to you and your medical provider. But I do wear the hat of a women's fitness and wellness coach. I do have a specialism in the peri to postmenopause phase. And I do hope that what I share with you is an unbiased opinion from my research, from the things that I've experienced, from the conversations that I've had, which I hope are going to open your eyes to a few things around the HRT conversation that I think are really, really important considerations when you're thinking about your own journey. The next thing to say, I am neither pro every single woman taking HRT and nor am I anti-HRT. I believe that every single woman should have unimpeded access to HRT if they wish to take it and if it is suitable for them. And do note that there are some circumstances where HRT would not be advised for certain individuals, and I'll mention that in a little while. And, you know, there is nothing that boils my blood more than when I hear from women who have been to their doctors, they've been looking for help with perimenopause symptoms, they've been looking maybe to take HRT, and they've been told that they are too young to be perimenopausal, or that the doctor doesn't believe in prescribing HRT, or that they have been offered alternatives like antidepressants when the symptoms would be fairly assumed to be hormonal related and not related to depression. Unfortunately, that seems to still happen more than it should. There are some amazing doctors out there. There are plenty of women who are getting great care and great advice and whose doctors are listening to them. But there are too many stories that I still hear about doctors who say these kind of things. And, you know, as grown-ass women, it is 100% our right to have an actual conversation with a doctor about our options, one where they can explain the risks and benefits, and we get to ultimately decide what is best for us, rather than our doctor telling us, no, you're too young, or I don't believe in it. It is up to us to be able to have that conversation and to be able to make that decision. And last but not least, before we actually get into this, I want to share my own personal take on HRT. And this is personal, okay? This is the one that is right for me. I am not telling you this because I think that this is the one that you should follow. I'm not telling you this because I think that this is the right way to do it. I am telling you this because when HRT comes up, people ask me, well, what's your opinion on it? Do you take HRT? Is this something that you would take? So women are often interested to know where I stand on this. So I'm 47, and at the moment I'm not taking HRT. Any symptoms that I am getting are few and far between. The odd mild mood changes that I've experienced, they were more severe a few years ago, but I dealt with those in different ways. The odd bit of overwhelm and anxiety here and there, the odd bit of waking up at night being hot. I'm certainly not getting anything as extreme as night sweats or anything like that. But this week, for example, just randomly every night, I keep waking up and having to throw the covers off because I'm a bit hot, which I haven't had to do for ages. So the odd thing here and there, but nothing that would make me feel that I needed extra help, that I needed to go out and get HRT. You know, my experience is largely positive. I did go through some early menopause symptoms a few years ago, which I addressed with acupuncture and actually some serious addressing of my stress levels, because I know 100% that they were massively contributing to how I was feeling. And I am feeling much better, much more balanced now. But if that changes at any point, if I do find that I start to get lots of symptoms, and if I find that they are starting to affect my quality of life, then HRT is definitely something that I would consider. I would always look at lifestyle first and foremost, but I definitely would consider adding HRT into the mix if needed. Because, you know, I'm only 47 and I know that I've been in perimenopause for quite a long time because my periods have been erratic for 2 or 3 years at this point already. But, you know, I've probably got a few years left, so things could change. And I am, you know, always, always open to the options that are out there for me. But right now I'm feeling good. I don't feel the need for HRT, but I feel that if symptoms became something that affected my quality of life, then it is something that I would definitely consider. So anyway, like I say, that's my personal take. It's something that I wanted to throw out there because, like I say, people are often interested. They're like, well, you're talking about HRT, but what's your view? Like, what would you do? How is this affecting you right now? So I think it's kind of important to talk about that a little bit. Right, before we move on, I just want to talk a little bit about what is HRT, because it's all very well me sitting here and going, right, this is what I think about HRT, and this is the things that you need to think about. But you may be sitting there going, well, actually, it's not something I've come across yet. It's not something I've maybe thought about yet. What actually is HRT? How is it prescribed? Are there any contraindications? So I'm just going to briefly go through that. So HRT is known either as HRT, hormonal replacement therapy, or you might hear of it referred to as menopausal hormone therapy, MHT. Usually you're going to be prescribed estrogen and progesterone. These are two of the main players in many of those menopause-related symptoms. So you take estrogen usually via a gel or a cream or a patch on your skin. So it's called transdermal. And then progesterone usually as a tablet, a pill, a micronized progesterone that you'll take. And the progesterone is necessary because that actually protects your uterus. So estrogen kind of proliferates the sort of lining of the uterus. And without progesterone opposing that, it can definitely cause problems. So you will have progesterone as well to protect the uterus. If you've had a hysterectomy, however, you will only be prescribed estrogen because obviously you won't have a uterus that needs protecting by the progesterone. So you will usually only be prescribed estrogen in that case. There are certain cases where HRT is not recommended, such as if you have had a hormonally driven cancer or if there is a real history of that in your family. And there will be other treatment options available to you in that case. For example, there are cases where there are certain antidepressants that may be prescribed for hot flushes, just as an example there. So there are other treatment options depending on the symptoms you're having, etc. And also, just one more thing to bear in mind, if you are having issues with things like vaginal dryness and itching and things, you may also be prescribed a localized topical estrogen to be applied to the area as a cream. It's low dose. It may just be prescribed on its own if needed. And it's not really a systemic. So the regular HRT that you'll take, that you'll put on your skin, is a systemic. It affects your whole system, whereas the estrogen that you will apply to the vaginal area is not systemic. So it's a localized estrogen. So that's a little bit about HRT, what it is, how it's usually prescribed. Like I say, there are differences in this. I'm giving you like the usual normal case scenario, but it may be slightly different depending on the person, the circumstances, the risk profile, and all those kind of things as well. Now, there are a couple of different viewpoints on HRT at the moment. There is one school of thought right now, which is saying that every single woman should have HRT regardless, to protect her from heart disease, to maintain bone density, to help combat brain-related issues, etc. So there is very much this school of thought coming to the fore, which is, let's just give all women HRT because it is so damn protective against all of these things that are going on. There is another school of thought that says lifestyle factors alone should be used to combat changes in the menopause. And then, of course, there's the middle bit where I sit, which is that lifestyle factors should always be a part of a conversation, but that they can work well together with HRT. And there is also that tension between those who say HRT for everyone and those who say that the menopause is maybe becoming overly medicalized and that HRT is not something we should be prescribing as standard. So people who are like, are not anti-HRT, but are maybe saying, look, we're over-medicalizing this. We're telling women that they're all screwed if they don't take HRT, and that's maybe not where we should be going with this. So again, there is a bit of a tension in there as well. So like I say, I think I sort of sit in the middle. I 100% think that all women should have HRT, access to HRT if needed, but each and every case is individual. And what works for one is not going to work for another necessarily. So honestly, we have to listen to the wisdom of each individual woman in regards to her own body. We should have 100% body autonomy always, 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 always. However, there are some things that I would love us all to consider when it comes to HRT that are not just about, you know, tackling symptoms per se, but are about the sort of wider conversation, I think, around the peri to postmenopause phase. Now, I think the first thing I want to tackle is this idea of HRT for every single woman. Now, for me personally, this feels like a bit too broad of an approach to take. And I think that what it does is it sends the signal to women that there is just one factor that's involved in things like our heart health and our bone health and our brain health. And we know that it's never that simple. And yet I feel that when we're medicalizing it, when we're saying all women should take HRT, we're ignoring the fact that it's not a simple equation of lack of hormones equals surefire decline into terrible disease. It's just not true. It's just not the case. The hormones are part of the picture. But we all know that there are other things that are important, like nutrition and activity levels and stress levels. And I feel that we potentially create a lot of fear, and it becomes really dangerous to assign disease or ill health to just one factor alone, because these things are always multifactorial. And I think that we can discuss HRT as being a really important option for a lot of women at the same time as saying, but it's not just about our hormones. There are other things that we can do. And, you know, personally, I will continue to do many of the things that I can to ensure that I stay healthy for as long as possible. And that includes regular exercise, which, by the way, appears to be is the single most effective strategy we have for all of these things, for all of the things that we've talked about, the heart health and the bone density and the brain health and things like that. It is the single most effective strategy that we have that we can use regular exercise. So yeah, we've got to look at regular exercise. We've got to look at nutrition. We've got to look at stress management. We've got to look at sleep. These are the things that are my personal insurance policy. And then HRT becomes something that I have to hand if I feel that I need it to tackle any symptoms that may creep up. And I emphasize this is for me personally, but, you know, like I say, I think I always feel like it's dangerous when we say you're losing your hormones, so you're screwed. And you've got to take HRT or else it's inevitable that you're going to get all these problems. And I feel that that's a road that we maybe shouldn't be going down, that we need to talk about this as a much, much, much bigger conversation. It's a bit like the conversation around obesity. And, you know, it sometimes boils down to this simple idea of, well, if you just lose weight, everything will be okay and you'll be healthy again. But the truth is that it's not just obesity in and of itself that causes ill health. Yes, it's part of the picture, but again, it's also about nutrition, activity levels, stress levels, all of those other things. And all of those other things can be brought to bear on our health. And so, yeah, it's the same with HRT as well. Let's not put it, you know, boil it down to one thing and make women feel like it's just that thing that is causing the issue. I think as part of this, we need to be aware of using HRT as a sticking plaster as well. You know, it's like many things these days, you know, we often wait until there is a problem. And this is because the way that medicine appears to be set up is like, oh, well, let's leave it till there's a problem and then let's write a prescription to sort it out. You know, and we all know there is a worrying lack of attention to root cause, to actually looking at things in the long term. You know, there's a lot of short-term viewpoints or short-term solutions that we've got, which is great. We need to have those 100%, absolutely. But the things that we're maybe not paying attention to are, you know, what's going on? What can we do before there's even a problem, before we start to get to crisis point? And I'm incredibly grateful that we do have so many treatments available to us. And these treatments are vital. But when it comes to something like menopausal symptoms, we do need to be looking at that wider picture as well. Now, for some women, they may well need the HRT to help with symptoms that may be debilitating. And that will therefore allow them to look at the lifestyle changes afterwards, right? But the lifestyle change has got to be addressed too. Whether you do that as the first step or whether you do HRT and then lifestyle change, then it's got to be looked at because, you know, let's say you're not eating too great, you rarely exercise, you're feeling really stressed and busy all the time, then we need to be careful about using HRT as a sticking plaster and going, well, if I just do that, it's going to solve all my issues and I can continue to live exactly as I was before, not eating great, rarely exercising, being too stressed all the time, and just know that the HRT is going to solve everything for me. I think that, again, that's a sort of dangerous path to go down if we feel that it is the answer to all of our problems. You know, yes, it may be the first port of call, but we may be having to look at other issues as well. Now, of course, there are lots of cases where I've spoken to women and they're like, well, actually, I have been exercising and I have been eating well and, you know, I have been working on managing my stress and I'm still having the symptoms. And then they're taking HRT and that is just helping them to, you know, nip it in the bud once and for all. And of course, it's amazing that we've got that. But like I say, it's not about, right, well, my lifestyle's not great and I'm going to take HRT and that's going to solve it so I can continue to live a lifestyle that's not that great, is maybe not the avenue we need to be going down. We need to be looking at the whole combination of factors of what's going on with our peri to postmenopause symptoms and say, look, great, I've got the HRT, but what else do I need to be looking at as well? What are the other things that need to be addressed? And being honest with ourselves about that as well, honest about the things that maybe we've not looked at for a little while. Because, you know, we do get away with certain things, don't we, up until that point. And then suddenly we're like, oh, okay, maybe I do have to change this particular little habit. I think one of the other things that sort of troubles me around the HRT for everyone conversation is that we are maybe starting to create this narrative around our bodies letting us down and us having no personal control over that. And for me, it is really important that actually we empower women with all of the positive, amazing things that they can do for themselves. And the last thing that I want to do is that or see is that we have our sense of personal agency taken away from us. Because I think that this just feeds into this concept of women's bodies being the problem and of our hormones being the problem. And I think we all need to know that we have a say. We may not be able to ultimately determine if we get a disease, of course, because there, like I said before, there are so many factors and they're not just actually lifestyle related, they're genetic and all sorts of other things as well. But we do have a say. We do have a say in things that can help or hinder us on that path. You know, yeah, you could still be the healthiest person in the world and still get really ill. And likewise, you could smoke 100 a day and live till you're 95. But that's not to say that we have absolutely no control, that we have no say in this. And, you know, I feel like it's really dangerous to start telling women, if you don't take hormones, you're screwed. Again, it's just one part of the puzzle. And, you know, we need to feel that we've got some personal agency. We need to feel that we are allowed to have control. And I don't want us to start feeling like our bodies are a problem. Our hormones are letting us down. Our bodies are letting us down. Because how do we feel when we feel like that? And how do we feel when we go, actually, no, I do have a little bit of say in this. I do get to choose some of what happens to me. And yes, I can use HRT to support me in that. But I do get to choose. And I think that we are in danger of blaming everything on the hormones rather than looking beyond. And for me, what if some of the changes that we're going through in midlife are actually a result of the fact that we have carried a load that was always and continues to be too heavy for us? But of course, when we start to blame it all on the hormones, the problem becomes us. The problem becomes women. The problem becomes our body. The problem is not society anymore. You know, and the solution seems to be sometimes, take this medication. It's going to solve all your problems. And then it keeps us quiet. It makes us feel like society is listening. But what it actually does is it ensures that we continue to have to carry that load that is too freaking big for us. A load that we should not have been having to carry in the first place. It's this thing especially that makes me super angry. Let's shut the women up. Let's make it seem like it's their problem. Let's tell them that they're going crazy because of their hormones, so that actually as a society, we can continue to benefit from their unpaid work, from the fact that they carry more of the load at home, for the fact that they carry the mental load, for the fact that they get paid less. You know, it's an amazing distraction, isn't it? At a time when we potentially can become the most powerful versions of ourselves because we have the wisdom, the experience, fewer responsibilities, that actually we can be shut up and put back in our box because, you know what, girls? It's your hormones. Rather than the fact that, hey, maybe we've just realised we're a bit flipping pissed off, that we've had enough of carrying our load, or that load that was too big for us. You know, here's what I see is that our hormones do change, of course. That does affect us, of course. But when we do start to feel overwhelmed and anxious and angry, is it just the hormones? Or is it quite possibly that this change does finally highlight some of the issues, that highlights some of the shit that we have been unfairly having to put up with? I mean, what would happen if rather than everybody just blaming our silly old hormones, we actually saw this as what it is, a huge wake-up call? An opportunity to undo some of the unfairness, the imbalance, and to actually make changes in our lives that suit us rather than just suiting everybody else around us. And what if some of the anxiety and anger and overwhelm that we feel is that we have become disconnected from ourselves, that we've stopped asking ourselves what's important to us because we've been too damn busy looking after everybody else and holding down a job to pay the bills, while coping with sky-high nursery bills and tons of home responsibilities? You know, maybe we're a bit disappointed with how life turned out for us. You know, and maybe we're also still holding on to the old masculine measures of what success looks like, such as how busy are we? How much are we doing for others? How many things do we tick off the list that day? And what if one of the things that might make us feel less angry and less overwhelmed would be to look at this ourselves and as a society as well, because it's not all on us. It's not all on us. So, do you know what? I could go on about this one forever. I don't know if you can tell, but it gets me a bit riled up. But suffice to say, Maybe it's time for society to stop letting society tell us she's crazy and to actually acknowledge that the load that we've been carrying and asking ourselves to carry is too much. And how do we start to dismantle that? You know, that menopause has been pegged as a shit show. You're going to get weak. You're going to go mental for a bit. You're probably going to pile on a load of weight. And to top it all off, you'll probably be pretty unreasonable about it as well. But how about the fact that this can actually be a really freeing time, a time to get excited, a time filled with potential, a time where we get to rewrite our priorities and our dreams, a time when we get to start reimagining what we want our lives to look like. And yes, our hormones are playing a part in our experience, but it's not the whole flipping picture. We are not just a bag of hormones. We are living, breathing people who get to choose something different if they so wish. And I think that society has got a lot to answer for. You know, enough of telling us that we are the problem, our hormones are the problem. And let's look at actually what else is going on here as well. What else are we being asked to carry that is just too damn much for us? And maybe we're starting to wake up to that. And that's okay. That's okay to start waking up to that. It's not because you're going crazy. It's because you are waking up to all of the stuff that you are having to do. Anyway, I'm going to stop talking about that now because I could go on all day. Right. The final thing I want to say before we wrap up is HRT doesn't work for everybody. And I've spoken to quite a few women who have said that they've been on HRT for a while and they have not noticed any improvement in their symptoms. And so again, I think this is another reason that we need to be careful about, hey, HRT is the answer, because some women will try different types and they still won't get the desired outcome. And that's really hard because then you feel like you're failing again. But, you know, it's not that. HRT is not always the instant cure-all that we are led to believe. Yes, it's transformed the lives of many women for the better, but it can be more difficult for some women to find the balance with their hormones. And if you are in that bracket, then know that there are always different avenues to explore. And I hope that some of the things that I've talked about today are going to resonate and give you cause to maybe look at other avenues as well. And never feel like you're alone, because you're not. And if HRT isn't working for you right now, keep trying, because there will be a combination that will help, or there will be something else that will help, but you're not alone. And I would hate to think that there are women out there that might feel like they're failing because it's not working for them. So with all that said, I want to touch on one more thing before we finish, because like I said, when I started this, there are lots of things we need to consider when it comes to HRT. And I hope that today's really got you thinking about HRT and beyond. But of course, we should all have access to it. And I do get fed up of those stories of women who tell me that they got put on antidepressants when not what they wanted was HRT, or doctors who have been unsympathetic or whatever. And like I say, there are plenty of amazing doctors out there, but there are still too many stories from not so amazing experiences that women have had. So here are just a couple of things to think about if you are thinking about having a conversation with your doctor, or if you've had one and it was not satisfactory. I think first of all, ask to speak to a menopause specialist in your practice. Okay, many practices now have somebody who is actually a specialist in that. You can ask to speak to them if you want to. I think secondly, be prepared. You can print off or screenshot the NICE guidelines. That's the National Institute for Clinical Excellence. They have got guidelines on menopause and HRT. So you can print those off. Just do a Google search for those and you can get those. So print those off if that helps you. Have a read through of those first. Thirdly, be clear on the outcome that you would like. And if you want to take HRT, ask to discuss that with the doctor and have a conversation about the pros and cons for you personally. And I think last but not least, if you don't get satisfaction, ask to speak to a different doctor. You do have the right to do that. So there you have it, HRT. Now, as I said at the start, HRT is something that it's worth being clued up about. So do have a look at other resources of information about this. Remember again that I am not a medical professional, but I hope I've given you some food for thought on the conversation around menopause, around our hormones, some of the wider issues that you might want to be thinking about as well. And I honestly think that the peri to postmenopause phase can be so empowering. It can be so exciting. It can be such a wonderful time for women. I know it doesn't always feel like that when you're in it, but I'd love for you to remember that it doesn't have to be all misery and horrible symptoms. And if you're going through the mill right now, I know it's really flipping hard. And if that is the case for you, then I have nothing but love to send your way. But I hope that this will help you to see that it's not just about the hormones. I hope that you've got some other things to think about as well. And of course, I would love to hear from you on this, to hear about your personal experiences. So do drop me a message via my social media channels at Alex Chickfit. But for now, I'm going to love you and leave you, and I will see you again next time. Thank you for joining me. Thank you so much for joining me today, beautiful people. If you have loved listening in and want to make sure you don't miss out on future episodes, then simply subscribe or follow the podcast on your favourite podcast player right now. You can also come and join me on the socials at Alex Chickfit, and I'll see you again next time.